Man, I'm just so thankful today, guys, for worship team for that, what you guys just gave us, man. What a beautiful gift of celebration that's authentic, that comes from our hearts. It communicates who we are, it communicates where we've been, where we're going. We are so blessed. I guess you guys know that, right? If you do, say, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. These guys are incredible. Not because they are good musicians, not because they're good songwriters, but just because they understand how to have a relationship with God, and this is the outflow of that. And this morning, I don't know how much of what we were seeing you caught, but you guys know how I am. I can't, you know, when I'm sitting here worshiping and studying this topic of the kingdom, which is abiding. You know, just the truths that they just sang are just so incredible. Two of the songs that we sang this morning were I just want to go back to and communicate again some of the truths that were here. I'm not going to recap all of what we said about the kingdom of God. Everybody say, oh yeah. Say thank you, Jesus, because he's good. But if you need that, and all of you do if you didn't get that, everybody's hot and fanning, okay? If you need that, dude, I can do that. Holy Spirit had that. It's always, thank you, Craig. This button actually controls Craig and Will, so it's pretty good. I pushed the Craig button. And this little oddity, by the way, this little time that we have every morning when I stand up to preach and we do something, sounds very weird on the website. You know, when you're listening to the message, even if you guys have ever gone to listen to the message, when I get started and then we stop to turn something on or off or pick up vacuum water off the floor or something in our little place, it sounds weird. So for those of you who are listening via the internet to this message, we just turned two air conditioners on because it's hot in the church. Even though Colin didn't say it like he did the other time, I heard that too. That was pretty nice. I'm sweating. It's crazy. All right, so back to what we're talking about. Kevin and Lori are just writing, you know, the Lord is writing through them some beautiful music, just some great lyrics that describe what we're about. So instead of recapping by going back and talking about the messages, I do want to go back and talk about, or let you guys see again, if we can, Prissy, the lyrics to Kingdom Reign. This is what we've been saying, and it's communicated so much more beautifully in these lyrics. Just some summaries of what God is saying to us about the kingdom. Blessed are the empty-handed, the barren, meek, and low. Right? That paradoxical kingdom we've been talking about. To them belongs the kingdom's promise of a great reward. Blessed are the pure in heart, the kind and merciful. There it is. For they will see the face of God, and heirs they will be called. We are wanting, we come wanting with open hands. We are hungry for righteousness. We've been saved, but by faith in the one who's been raised, let salvation have its way, right? This is the effect of salvation. This is not what we've earned. This is what we've been given. So take all that we are. By your grace, move our hearts. Lord, your will we will embrace. Let your kingdom reign in us. Blessed are the salt and light, which we hadn't gotten to yet, but we will. Blessed are the salt and light, the bearers of his name, the ones who live out, love, define, and teach the world his ways. We are broken, but by your might we stand ready to lift you high. All this is what God is doing in us, right? It's a response to the king. And then they sang another song that they wrote a while back. I think this is y'all's, right? Your Nearness. That's also one that you guys wrote. What is it like to live in the kingdom? Is it looking at the Beatitudes and saying, okay, I need to measure up to that? Is it looking at all of the scriptures that Paul and other apostles have written and saying about their teachings, I need to measure up to that? I think Colin made it clear when he preached a couple of Sundays ago. In the kingdom, this is what happens. We are responding to the king. I mean, literally, this is heart change that's going on. And so all of this lyric here of your glory shines a light and my heart's shadows flee. Your word awakens hope that once was hushed by grief. Your beauty stirs the song that my spirit aches to sing. Your mercy is the balm that rids sin of its sting. Draw me in into your heart and into your hands. Your presence is my only passion. Your presence is my sole obsession. For I am changed by your nearness. It's just such a beautiful description of what it's like to live in the kingdom. And I can't hear that enough. I can't say that enough. I can't sing that enough. Before we will maybe one day begin to understand the truth of that. We are not trying to get you to act right here at the Gathering Place. You know, I was remembering a minute ago a relationship that I had with a guy. He was telling me about, basically he was living beyond his means. And some of you guys may know some people like that who, you know, they have this dream of being somebody, and by being somebody, I mean being somebody in the kingdom of this world, not in the kingdom of God. Being somebody in the eyes of men, and having possessions, and having the praise of men. And this guy was very close to me, and we had a great relationship. And in that relationship, and trying to struggle through his understanding of how to walk out his life and his relationship with God, I saw this pattern, is that he was always acting like he had money, and he didn't. I mean, he was spending all of his money, which was very little, buying stuff that rich people have. Any of you guys ever know somebody like that? Anyone? Yeah? We got some of you in here, but I won't call names today. He's spending everything he had to buy the right kind of clothes, the right kind of cars, the right kind of stuff, so that he could look like he had money. Now, really, when somebody is driving a nice car, I mean, just in the world's economy, not in God's economy, but in the world's economy, when somebody's driving a really, really nice, expensive car, we automatically assume that they have money, they have resources, and they drive up to a nice house, and they wear nice clothes. We automatically assume that they have resources. And that's not a big problem in the world's economy. When somebody is living according to their means, and they have nice things, that's expected in the world's economy. Well, but if somebody is living beyond their means and they're spending their food money to try and make themselves look better, we all know that that's a little bit psychotic, right? And so we recognize that it's somebody acting like they're rich when they're not rich. It's somebody living in a way that's not authentic, and those people are miserable. This friend of mine was miserable because he was always worried and anxious about, you know, what am I going to do about, how am I going to keep this image up, first of all, because I don't really have enough money to do this, but I'm going out with some people who have money, so I have to go out to a nice restaurant and I have to buy something and pay for everybody's meal. You know, acting like I have money. Well, that's the kind of the feel for me of what it was like when I was living, trying to live in a spiritual kingdom of God, but not living authentically. I didn't have the resource of what? What is the resource that really causes me to live righteously? That causes me to love others? That causes me to give up my possessions? That causes me to desire to love even those who hate me or hurt me? That gives me peace in the middle of horrible circumstances? What is it that brings that? It's not acting like I have a relationship with God. It is only when I draw on an authentic relationship with God. And the difference for me is vast. I used to be a person who tried to act like and teach people to act like everything was good in their life. So all you got to do is tithe, and then we know that you're doing something right. You know, all you have to do is act spiritual, act like everything's good when it's not, and you're doing something right. Well, the truth is, we need to learn to draw from the person, from the nearness of God, from the fact that we are living in a kingdom where our King lives with us and in us, and he is providing for us in that relationship, and he is, we're not having to beg for it. It's something that has been provided for us because of what Jesus did. We need to recognize that and live that way. We were talking this past week. I ended up in two different conversations in the same day, which I think was by God's design. But two conversations in the same day about what do we do about the holiness or lack of holiness if we see it in one of our members. In other words, if you guys are not really living the way you should and there's some sin in your life and we recognize it, how should we handle that? I mean, Scripture gives us some good direction. Eric and I taught on community in Honduras last week, and one of the things I taught on was this idea of addressing sin, you know, of going to someone and who's offended me or a brother who's living in a sin, going to him and trying to bring restoration. And there's so much involved in that in Scripture, but ultimately, it comes back down to this same issue of what it means to live in the kingdom. And that is, I need to help you fall more in love with Jesus. I need to teach you how to abide in him and be near to him more, because that's what causes us to bear fruit. You know, for so long in my preaching and teaching, I would teach against sins. And I would tell you all the scriptures that the Bible has that says these sins are wrong. And motive in retrospect was that I might persuade you to live in a way that it doesn't come from your heart. Instead of, first of all, drawing your heart to the beauty of your King. I mean, seeing that how awesome it is that God, even though you were a sinner, stepped in for you and gave you grace and mercy and healing and restoration, and it is sanctifying you and changing you and moving you from the inside out. And that is Ezekiel talked about, God has come in and taken our hearts and redirected our hearts toward him. And placed his Spirit in us as a transforming power that lives inside of us and is not changing our behavior. He's changing our hearts, which changes our behavior. And so I hope we're getting that. And thank you guys for that music this morning, the beauty of that message. We need to understand that as we continue to talk about the kingdom of God. So if you need a recap on the kingdom of God, I encourage you guys to go back, to go to the website and pull up last week's message. I think it's valuable because we've been teaching the kingdom of God in a kind of a scattered way, scattered because I've been out, scattered also because you've been out during the holidays, and we've just not all heard these messages. So it's a good 30 to 45 minute recap to get us caught up to where we are today. So we're talking about the character of subjects in the kingdom in Matthew chapter 5. We're talking about the character that God is building, that the Holy Spirit is building in the life of subjects in the kingdom. Those of us who have made a decision that we want to live in the kingdom of God, which is present with us, and we are living in it now. What does the character of a person who lives in the kingdom look like? Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Let's read those again and we'll move forward. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So here Jesus is beginning to teach those whose eyes have been opened by God, had to be, in order for them to see the secrets of the kingdom of God, Their eyes have been opened to the truth about who he is as king, wonderful counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace, everlasting Father. Their eyes are being opened about the happiness or the blessedness, the contentment that comes from that relationship, the peace, the joy that would be theirs as they lived as characters or subjects in the kingdom of God. And now he begins to give a description of the characteristics that are being formed, were being formed, and continuing to be formed in the lives of those whose eyes were opened, in whom the leaven of the kingdom was growing without end, continually growing. And being extended. He gives that description and he describes the blessings that would be theirs as they live their lives in the kingdom. Right? And so he spoke of happiness or contentment of heart, a peace or joy that comes from knowing God and living in relationship with God and living in the will of God. That contentment, that peace that comes, that kind of contentment and peace that's a happiness that transcends our circumstances. Because our King walks with us, and he loves us, and he provides for us in his kingdom. And so he's beginning to show these characteristics of subjects. Characteristics that we talked about last week are paradoxical regarding when compared to the world's kingdom. And he shows us that in Luke's gospel. And they're the very opposite of the world's outlook, because people in the world or in the world's kingdom put their trust in position and their possessions, and in people, and the proper status, that kind of stuff. So last week, I encouraged all of us to go away with this attitude in our hearts and our minds, that God's Spirit, that we would work with God's Spirit to allow these characteristics to be formed in us. This is not something that we have to dig out of the ground through the toil of our hands to make happen. We just need to join the Spirit of God who's working in us already to create a deeper love for God, a deeper knowledge of who he is, and a heartfelt desire to live a different kind of life. It's the natural outflow of what your spirit already desires to do. Really, what we're doing in the spiritual kingdom is we're joining God by doing our best to train our bodies to do what our spirits already want to do. This is not something that's foreign to us. It should be the most natural thing for us. And sometimes our sin feels like the most natural thing. I understand that. Our flesh is, Paul describes that struggle. But ultimately, all of us who are now subjects in the kingdom, who have received Christ, who have been changed by his Spirit, and are continually being saved and sanctify, our desire is to live a righteous life. And so I commend all you guys to go with the attitude that God's Spirit is creating in you. Embrace the character of Christ that God is trying to create in you or recreate in you. Give your best effort to yield to the sanctification of the Holy Spirit and receive the blessings that a subject in the kingdom receives, that the blessing of peace and contentment and happiness and joy in the kingdom of God. So what is the Spirit doing then in the hearts of his subjects? What is it that we need to be joining God that we already see happening inside of us? Y'all with me? Say, oh yeah. Everybody still alert? Still awake? What is it? What are these characteristics, these character traits that we see in the life of Jesus? And so consequently, the Spirit that lives inside of us is trying to work into us through the process of sanctification. One is that he said we would be poor in spirit. Poor in spirit, literally, that our heart condition would be this, that we realize our spiritual bankruptcy and our need of the grace of God. We realize our spiritual bankruptcy, and we realize our need for God. We feel this deep sense of spiritual destitution. I'm not sure that all of us feel that. You know, one of the things that I appreciate about preaching today and a lot of what I'm reading and hearing is that I see a trend towards bringing us back to see our sinfulness, to see our destitution in our own goodness, because I don't see that a lot. I see a lot of people who stand up and feel like they're good because they act right. You know, I see us comparing ourselves to other people instead of seeing our the best of us, literally, the ones of us that are the best at keeping the rules, seeing ourselves as destitute, that our righteousness is as filthy rags before God. We need to recognize that. That's something that the Spirit does in us. It's the opposite of the pride that was seen in the Pharisees and teachers of the law. That it's the opposite of the pride that we see swelling up in many people today, right? Church people. Look with me at Luke chapter 18. There's a story there that describes the difference in these two attitudes or these two characteristics. One of them being an attitude of a man who is finding his success in the world's kingdom, and one who is finding his success in the kingdom of God. And it's drastically different. This is a beautiful picture of this paradox. Y'all with me? Y'all ready? Let's read it together. Luke chapter 18, verse 9 through 14. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed this: God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners and unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. That's a beautiful picture of what Jesus is trying to describe to us, this attitude, this paradoxical characteristic of a person who lives in the kingdom of God. You know, the fight that's going on inside the hearts of the Pharisees was this struggle between this physical kingdom that they thought God was going to come, the Messiah was going to come and build, and that they would be able to be men of significance and have great possessions because they were walking alongside a king who had subjects, and that they would be his best subjects. And we have the same thing today. There's hordes of us in the Christian community who are impressed with our spirituality. You know, we're impressed with the things that we do, and we're quick to brag on the things that we do. And listen, church, we are those people. Let's don't move outside of this congregation. Let's talk about ourselves, because I'll give you this: we're more subtle about our bragging, but we still brag. We're more subtle about how spiritual we are, but we're still spiritual. And I just want to encourage you guys, we need to let the Spirit break that out of us. And that is not what the Spirit is trying to develop in us. It's this total humility, this attitude of bankruptcy spiritually. We have nothing. We are nothing. And Paul rejoices in that. You know, when he talks about his weakness, he says, thank you, God, for the things that are happening to me that are building in me this sufficient, this dependency on you. That's breaking away my self-sufficiency. Y'all with me? Do you feel that? I mean, when I talk about the spiritual bankruptcy, is the same thing going on in your spirit that's going on in mine? Please, God, do that in me. I want that. I want to be a nobody in the kingdom. Do you feel that in your spirit? I believe you're not going to feel it in the flesh. This is not something that exists in the kingdom's economy. In the kingdom's economy, we all lift ourselves up, and we try to convince ourselves that we're good. And in God's economy, we are blessed because we're poor in spirit. We are spiritually bankrupt. God, you have to do something. We have nothing in ourselves. And the best that we have is the wrong kind of currency in the kingdom of God. It buys nothing. It earns us nothing. I hope you guys get that today. I hope I get that today. That I know that there have been times in my life, and some of you may be here, and so I'll give this testimony, but there have been at least two different times in my life. One time where when I was studying and I was in the Word, and you know, I was in seminary and working on doing my seminar work, and I was, you know, in the throes of study all the time and constantly writing papers and studying, and all the information was fresh on my mind. And when I would teach, it would all come out. You know, I'd feel like, boy, I really got this, man. You guys are blessed to have me. Again, taking this knowledge that I've got and dispersing it to the little people. And that's really where my heart was. That's what happened. I thought I was somebody. What I found is that when you turn 51, you forget everything, first of all. Your mind goes, and then you blame it on Diet Coke or whatever else you want to blame it on my life, but or just old age and gray hair, whatever, or sorry kids. But whatever it is, there's something that's caused my mind to go. So I don't remember any of that stuff anymore. And I thank God for that. You know why? Because it has reduced my dependency or my ability to inflate my own ego. I'm nothing anymore. I know that. Man, I have nothing to offer you guys in a form of knowledge except what the Spirit has given me right now in this place. And what He gives me during the week as I study the Word, as I pray, and he gives me in circumstances and whatever life brings, but God gives it to me during the week, and I'm dependent on Him to help me remember it for today. And I won't remember tomorrow what I said today. I have to go listen to the messages too so I can remember what the Spirit's saying. I mean, you guys laugh. Talitha knows that's true. So, I mean, I've been there. I've been at the place where I was not poor in spirit. And I thought I was the most spiritual person in the building. And so the deception of the enemy is that he tries to get us to equate kingdom living with worldly living by lifting ourselves up. And for, you know, for some of you students here today, man, you're right now in the midst of study, and you are right now studying whatever topics you're studying, yeah, whatever your degree is. You're working on that, and the knowledge is sweet and it's fresh. And we have seminarians who are here today, you know, guys who are in seminary, and you're studying the Word of God, and some of you are Christian biblical studies majors or Christian education majors. And I just warn you guys, this is a trend for us. It's a tendency for those who study to build up knowledge. But it may not be knowledge for you. Maybe it's something else that causes you to feel really strong about yourself and your spiritual strength or your spiritual position or whatever has caused your heart to be divided. And you're no longer finding your satisfaction in the King. You're finding your satisfaction in your knowledge. Or for me, another area of my life testimony was my... the influence. You know, God kept giving me positions of influence, and I moved up the ladder, so to speak, big quotes, because there is no ladder. There is no up anyway. You know, we're totally dependent on God, but moving up the ladder in denominational work and getting to the place where I'm working for the national convention, and I'm in a position where I'm above a bunch of people. And when I would teach, you know, sometimes there'd be 3,000-4,000 people listening to me teach. And I'd stand up on the platform with all the confidence in the world and just loved it in the flesh. You know, I'm speaking, I have so much to impart to you guys. I know why you paid all this money to come here, to hear me. I mean, there'll be other people too, but I'm really why you're here. And I love it when people come up to me and say, man, that was so meaningful. And, you know, we're so whatever. And seeing my name on programs. And that influence is addictive, man. And it looks spiritual. And if you'd ask anybody in the audience if I was spiritual, they'd say, oh, man, he has it. He is spiritual. And it was so self-elevating, man. It was not the kingdom. It was not poor in spirit. I was not poor in spirit. This was not a characteristic of somebody who's supposed to be living in the kingdom of God. And at some point, and I'll be honest with you, now in retrospect, I can tell you this. Y'all with me still? Say, oh yeah. Here's what I can tell you is true about me in retrospect. I use that word a lot because it's a big word. And it's the only big word I know. But when I look back, I can tell you this. It was empty. It felt like there was something to it at the time, that I was the one who was the one giving, I had spiritual influence over a lot of people. And that made me feel like I was important. And when I was by myself and all that stuff would go down, I felt like such a loser. And I was. I mean, because I was living by the kingdom principles. I was losing big time, man. I wasn't blessed. I wasn't happy, contented, joyful. None of that stuff was a part of my life. But I am more happy today. I was so excited today to be able to get up and go. First of all, I was excited about eating a fritter at Harlow's. I just want to make a push for those. They're really good. But I was there just going over my message and getting excited about being able to be with you guys today and be able to share as a nobody with a bunch of other nobodies. And if you're offended by that, then you're in the wrong place. We are nobodies. We are spiritually bankrupt. You are not more significant than me spiritually, and I'm not more significant than you spiritually. We are all totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit, totally dependent upon God to show us himself and to give us a deeper love for him, to open our eyes and open our understanding to see the reality of who he is, and then build within us this poverty of spirit that only comes from the Holy Spirit. But as we think about that today, as we ask ourselves, you know, where are we in this? There's a response that's demanded from us. And the response is not, are you guys willing to work really hard to build some of this poverty in your life? The response is, God, get me to the end of myself. Get me to the end of my spiritual depth. Get me to the end of my ability to build myself up, to make myself, to be somebody in the kingdom of God. And let me just be satisfied that I have nothing to offer other than than a posture of surrender, than a posture of bankruptcy. And I come to you depending on you to give me everything I need in the kingdom of God. But I want it, God. Because I want you, and I want to be with you, and I want to please you, and I do want this happiness and this joyfulness. And it's hard for some of us to understand how in poverty we can be content. And yet there are great men and women of God throughout history who have only been content when they were impoverished. And so if that's you today, I encourage you guys, if this challenges you in any way, let your response be not, I feel guilty, and I'm going to go home and beat myself until this thing works itself out, but instead, rejoice in the mercy of God, in the fact that the wonderful counselor has communicated to you today through his word. He's communicated to you a truth, and he has grabbed your heart to be that way, and then just ask him to finish that work. Just say, God, you know, finish this work in me. Make me poor in spirit. I don't want to be anybody in the kingdom of God. I want to be a nobody. And so do your work in me. And I know that that's the work that's going to make a difference in the world. As ultimately, we're going to get to the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We're going to get to that. Jesus teaches that about the kingdom of God. But we can't get there until we start recognizing there's an internal change that needs to happen. God needs to change our character. And the only way he does that authentically is he grabs our heart. He shows us the reality of who he is. We draw near to him. And in that nearness, we lean back against him and breathe, and we are changed by that. We are literally enamored with the beauty of God. That was the good news of the gospel. It wasn't that they could be a part of a kingdom. It was that this kingdom was radically different than the kingdom they were a part of. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus is going to do in us this great work of transformation by his spirit that lives inside of us. He is transforming us. So I'm going to ask you to bow your head for a minute this morning as we close. And I say bow your head not because it's a spiritual thing to do. It's because I want to ask you to block everything else out. If you can do that and keep your eyes open, your heads up, that's fine. But block everything out, and let's just at least deal with this one truth today and ask God some questions about our lives and what he said to us today. Let me ask this question. I hope you'll seriously consider this morning. Are you a subject in the kingdom of God? Are you convinced of that? Do you know beyond a doubt that you have responded and received the free gift of Jesus? Responded to the drawing of the Holy Spirit and received the free gift of Jesus? If not, then right now, just quietly where you are. I mean, you don't have to move your lips. Just in a prayer to God from your heart to His. If you feel God drawing you this morning and you want to be a subject in the kingdom of God, you want to be a child of God, you want to receive the free gift of salvation that comes through Jesus, tell God that. We've talked about the fact that we are separated from God because of our sin, and that the only way we can get back together with God is through the sacrifice of Jesus. That His blood was shed so that your sins could be dealt with. That literally, as Isaiah said, that all we like sheep were gone astray, all of us going our own way, but God laid on Jesus our sins, the iniquity of us all. And God said, Paul says in 2 Corinthians, he says, God made Jesus to become sin for us so that we could be made the righteousness of God in Him. Do you want that in your life? If you do, then just say to God today, God, I believe in Jesus, and I want Jesus to come and take my sins away, and I want to be in the kingdom of God. I want to learn more about how to live in the kingdom, but I want to be in the kingdom. And I feel You drawing me, and so I respond by saying, I want You in my heart. Just pray that. Well, however you want to pray it. All you need to do is say, God, I want that. Most of us here we're already subjects in the kingdom, and we need to deal with this issue of being poor in spirit this morning. What's the Spirit doing in your heart today? As we talked about being spiritually bankrupt and being in need of grace and having this deep sense of spiritual destitution, where are you with that? Have you been lifting yourself up and trying to be a spiritual giant in the world's economy or in the church's economy? And if so, let me ask you today to just say to God, God, I show me more of Yourself so that I'm dependent on You. God, make me spiritually bankrupt. Show me my need to be nobody, and You be somebody in me. You show off in me, because where I'm weak, You are strong. I don't want to be like the Pharisee who looks around and compares myself to other people. I want to be broken, beating my chest and saying, God, I want Your mercy. I want Your grace. I want You to justify me. I can't justify myself. The promise of God for us this morning is that the kingdom of heaven is ours. Those of us who are poor in spirit, we seek the kingdom, man. We are going to find the kingdom, and we're going to abide in the kingdom of heaven. God gives us that when we're poor in spirit. So what kingdom do you want today? Do you want the kingdom of this world? Do you want the kingdom of the church today and the religious kingdom? Or do you want the kingdom of God? I hope you want the kingdom of God. If the Spirit is speaking to you today, say something to God related to that. God, I want to be poor in spirit. Make me spiritually bankrupt. Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for Your continual patience with us, with our sinfulness, our desire to, our messed up heads, God, and our paradigms and traditions that keep us walking in our own strength. But God, we deeply, deeply, God, desire as a body, we deeply desire that You would come in and break our hearts, God. We recognize that You are working in the hearts of subjects in the kingdom. Your Spirit is doing that. And so we know today from Your word that we need spiritual bankruptcy. And so help us to feel in our hearts the reality of our spiritual destitution, God, as we stand before you, as we pray, God, help us to feel that, to sense that, to know that. Help us to stand on your word and what it said today. And then, Father, show off in us, God. Make this church all that you want it to be for your glory. Lord, we want people to see the King, not us. And so keep us on that path. And thank you that we have a body that understands this, God, and that we desire it. Now make it so in our lives, God. Help us to walk it out. We are totally dependent on you. We surrender, God. We surrender our spiritual lives to you. And thank you that you're going to answer this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.